When their one-year-old son died in 1865, Jack and Isabella Stewart Gardner, two well-to-do Bostonians, threw their energy into travel and beautiful, timeless things.
The two were always interested in the arts, but really started forming an art collection together in the 1880s.
That's Shana McKenna, archivist at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. While their travels netted some impressive pieces, Isabella built much of their extraordinary collection through mail correspondences, most notably with American art historian Bernard Berenson, who she met when he was a student at Harvard.
He would write to her a beautiful letter describing a painting. They traded photographs very regularly.
I think she had a good eye.
She was really taking a chance sometimes, but she bought what she liked, and she bought some really wonderful things.
The Titians, Rembrandts, and Botticellis soon overwhelmed even the ample space in the Gardners' double brownstone mansion.
Their home on Beacon Street really just couldn't hold all of the treasures they began buying, and they decided at that point to begin planning a public museum.
At the time, the MFA was in Copley Square, as was most of the city's art. But Jack Gardner had made much of his fortune in real estate, and with the completion of Frederick Law Olmsted's Parkway system, a new neighborhood, the Fenway, caught his eye.
I think he knew that this area was, brand new. It was going to be quickly developed, and they probably wanted an area where they could have the space to build what they really wanted to.
What they wanted was a building that would itself be a work of art to house their collection. And so the work began in earnest.
Jack Gardner is keeping track of whose money is buying what. You know, Gardner's money is purchasing paintings. His money might be purchasing architectural elements. But it's clear that they're, invested in kind of building this together.
That all came to a crashing halt one fateful winter day.
Jack Gardner passes away in December of 1898. And so there's definitely a kind of a lull in the time period.
Undeterred, Isabella would forge ahead.
They break ground in 1900.
She spent the entire year of 1902 installing the artwork in the museum.
She worked on writing a museum guide that would also be sold to the public.
She was very much kind of a curator and a director at the same time.
Finally, on February 23rd, 1903, the public got their first glimpse of Isabella Stewart Gardner's unique vision. Capacity for the day was 200. The cost was $1 a ticket. It was unlike anything the local press or the public had ever seen.
She saved letters, thank you letters from the general public.
This is an excerpt from a letter.
And how grateful we are to you for giving us the opportunity of looking upon so many beautiful things and feasting our eyes upon works of such rare beauty and interest.
Gardner would spend the rest of her life adding to her collection, arranging and rearranging the space, perfecting every detail. And that's largely how it still looks today, with one major exception. In 1990, thieves disguised as Boston police officers broke in and stole 13 works of art, including 3 Rembrandts and a Vermeer.
So it certainly doesn't look the way it did in 1903, but it looks the way that she left it in 1924. The flowers, the sound of the fountains, the combination of decorative arts and paintings, textiles all together. It's a very unique experience.
One painstakingly crafted by Isabella Stewart Gardner, who first opened her doors to art lovers everywhere 112 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
Isabella, 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 Isabella. Isabella, more.